Los Dioses del Marketing es una producción de www.genio.sol, agencia digital y de contenido.
Los Dioses del Marketing.
Bienvenidos, bienvenidos a Los Dioses del Marketing. Mi nombre es Alberto Cruz. Muchas gracias al Gato Bonifacio y a Gonzalo Oliveros que nos permiten llegar a ustedes a través de la Radio Real y, por supuesto, a todos aquellos que nos escuchan a través de los sistemas de podcasting más importantes de Globo Terra, que ya acordamos que no podemos estar diciendo los nombres porque luego se ponen celosos unos, se ponen celosos otros.
Nos sacan de la señal.
Nos sacan del top ten y luego ya se les olvida, nos regresan. Pero gracias a ustedes, miles de personas que lo sintonizan. Hoy hay un programa especial, tan especial que hoy no me acompañan mis dos canchanchanes, no me acompañan mis dos demoedecanes, demovendedor. No. Hoy me acompañan dos compañeros de trabajo, Juan Carlos Bobia y Agustín Gutiérrez.
Muy buenas tardes. Aquí estamos. Tal vez en uno de los mayores retos de este programa.
¿Por qué?
Que lo vamos a hacer bilingüe.
¿Pero cómo que bilingüe?
Sí, sí, vamos a decir español y groserías nosotros.
Español y babosadas.
En español.
Sí. O sea, porque, ¿Qué idioma?
Vamos a decir español y babosadas.
Exacto.
Ajá. No, pues ese lo dominan los dos, ¿eh?
Lo dominamos.
¿Cuál sería el reto?
Ya verás.
Bueno, hoy hay un programa verdaderamente especial, como dicen mis canchanchanes.
Te lo dije.
Vámonos directito a la sección Saltar Intro.
Cada vez que escribes en WhatsApp:
hola, ¿cómo estás? ¿Trabajando? ¿Cómo te fue el fin de semana?
Cada vez que haces eso, un elefante de la sabana africana muere de aburrimiento. Con los Dioses del Marketing hemos encontrado la solución: Saltar Intro. Un pequeño espacio biográfico que nos permite hablar de lo que realmente importa con nuestros invitados. Así que vamos a Saltar Intro y salvar a los elefantes. Los Dioses del Marketing.
Vaya invitados que tenemos hoy. Agustín Gutiérrez, me voy a soltar con toda la alegría.
Por favor, presenta a estos two guests.
Nos acompaña hoy Kim Norland. Él ha sido distinguido como uno de los principales innovadores en marketing en Europa. ¿Cuál es su propuesta? One Can Design Success. Se puede diseñar el éxito. En el año 2000 funda la agencia, pues evidentemente Design Success, que es reconocida como la agencia independiente de innovación más grande del mundo, con presencia en más de 25 industrias en 4 continentes. Es el arquitecto del primer y único proceso patentado de validación de innovación, que incluso está certificado por ISO 9001. Esta metodología ha sido utilizada en las compañías más grandes del mundo, de Coca-Cola Company, BMW, Nike, Kraft, Chanel, Pfizer, Hugo Boss, Campbell's, Kellogg's, MoneyGram, Diageo, Lego, PepsiCo, Herdez, FEMSA, Sabritas Internacional. Bueno, Dios mío, la lista es larga, ¿eh?
Sí, y entre muchas otras.
Sí. Entre muchas otras. Sus esfuerzos han generado acumulativamente más de 4 mil millones de dólares en ganancias adicionales y alcanzado más de 2 mil millones de consumidores. Hoy Kim y Design Success trabajan en desarrollo de herramientas de inteligencia artificial y su aplicación en múltiples industrias. Un aplauso. También
bienvenido.
Nos acompaña.
Gracias. Julio, bienvenido, compadre.
Julio, muchísimas Aguilar. Gracias. Nos acompaña Julio Aguilar. Él es Managing Director Americas de Design Success. Pues, claro, por supuesto. Tiene más de 2 décadas como profesional creando experiencias para marcas. Él se integra a Design Success como director de las Américas desde hace 18 años. Su especialidad incluye estrategias de marketing, generación de conceptos y desarrollo de programas, innovación en productos, retail, price y análisis de P&L. Como consultor, ha liderado empresas globales y también a pequeños negocios en el camino al éxito, que se convierte en mayor volumen de ventas y crecimiento de ganancias. Agustín, Julio. O sea, casi hacemos un libro de cada uno de los invitados.
Caray, ya se acabó el tiempo del programa.
Ya se acabó, muchas gracias.
Solo de leer su currículum.
Exactamente. Muchas gracias, Kim y Julio. Pues bueno, se acabó el programa. No, bueno, pues adelante, Agustín.
Bienvenidos, es un gusto tenerlos acá. Es para hablar de un tema que se habla mucho, que es la innovación. Todo el mundo dice: voy a innovar en regalos.
O tienes que innovar.
Es una obligación de tu empresa innovar. Vamos a empezar por el principio. ¿Qué es innovación? ¿Qué es?
So, a primera, you know, I'm not gringo. Yo soy danés. Hablo un poco de español, okay, también. When you think about it, the language of innovation is always English, right? It's not Danish. It's no.
Okay, not Spanish.
No, because you speak 10 words in a meeting and then boom, an English word comes, right? So, what is innovation? Innovation is in reality, it's something like air. We all need it. Every company needs innovation. Otherwise, just like you, we as human beings, if we don't bring oxygen in and breathe it out again, you're gonna die. And the same goes for any company. If you don't breathe new air in, you will be yesterday and you will be gone. And that goes for anything. And we think about it, if all companies that didn't breathe in fresh air, come up with something new, make something new that we, all of us here, as consumers want to buy into, they're gone, right? Who, like, Blockbuster basically didn't do anything good, and they don't breathe more. Exactly, they don't breathe more. They are all gone, right? And that's an interesting thing. I don't know if you know this, but on the New York Stock Exchange, if you take 10 years ago and today, more than 20% of all companies are gone. So we think,
The problem is the air.
Yes, absolutely. The problem is the air. Or you think you have something new. Like, let's take the company like Kodak, right? We all remember Kodak, right? Yeah. All remember Kodak.
The worst part of Kodak is the reference for the things that you don't have to do.
Exactly. But did you know that Kodak invented the digital photograph? Mm-hmm.
Shoot on your feet.
That patent, they literally invented, patented it, sitting on this gold mine, did nothing with it, and died. And the only reason why there's a little company left is because they get royalty from all the an iPhone and this.
Yeah. And Philips invented the board of the CD burner.
Exactly.
And Sony have the machines to burn the
Maybe, yeah. just maybe, deberías hablar en español.
Sí.
No, pero eso le están diciendo a Bobia para que...
La traducción...
Yeah. Lo que quiso decir Bobia. Por favor, Bobia. Sí, porque tu traducción va a ser difícil.
Innovación es oxígeno, right? Like
oxígeno.
Gracias. That is what innovation. Every company, this small or this big, need innovation.
Para todas las compañías.
Todos. Absolutamente.
Todos.
¿Cómo aprendes a respirar ese oxígeno?
Yeah, absolutely. If you stop innovating, you will die. Period.
Okay. When you talk about innovation, innovation is a big, big concept, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You can make innovation on your products, on your communication, on your people, on machines, on how you sell your products.
Yeah.
How you start to make innovation?
So the first thing is to be relevant, right? All innovation starts with... La relevancia, like that we have something.
No es solamente relevancia, es más el tema de qué es lo que está buscando el mercado en ese momento en el tema de innovación.
Okay.
¿Por qué? Porque sabemos que si el mercado solamente nos está dando un punto, no se trata de inventar el hilo negro. Al final del día se trata de buscar esos puntos que van guiando hacia la innovación, porque hoy en día la mayoría de los consumidores están dispuestos a pagar más siempre y cuando hay una innovación que llame la atención del consumidor.
Yeah.
O sea, se innova hacia el público, adentro.
Se innova de las dos maneras, tanto hacia adentro como hacia el público. ¿Por qué? Porque también hay procesos internos que se tienen que cambiar para lograr un tema de innovación. En un tema de los cereales, ¿no? No podemos innovar si una máquina ya está hecha de tal forma para hacer ese tipo de cereal.
Claro.
Obviamente tenemos que innovar en la parte del producto y después ver de qué manera esa máquina se puede acomodar para lograr la innovación y de qué manera lo transmitimos internamente a los equipos para que ellos vayan viendo el tema de que se está innovando y no nada más está buscando un solo producto, ¿no?
Claro.
Oye, yo tengo una pregunta y es, usually in business, what rules is the ROI,
mm-hmm.
okay? Which is the important part, the idea of the money?
So it used to be, when Julio and I started many years ago, it was we could go to companies and we could give them an idea on a post-it note and they would pay us money. That's the truth. Today, an idea cost is worth zero.
Yep.
It's we will get calls. I come up with some ideas. You know what? We go, how many do you want? You want 50? We'll give you 50, gratis. Here's go. Because the question is not the idea. The question is, which idea? Which idea is it going to be? Because nobody, including Coca-Cola, do I have enough money to invest in every single idea. So you need to narrow down. So the ROI, the return on investment, is by far the most important thing. And that's where we started, because we started in making ideas, right? That was the truth. But we ended up being, let's say, but which idea? And that's where we, you know, the claim to fame that we have today is we go into companies and we are able to tell them before they invest what will work and what won't work, right? Like which ideas you should put.
The innovation.
How do you do that?
You take a risk.
Oh, hey, innovation is a big risk. That is the truth, right? For everybody.
It's the same amount of risk for a small company that than a big company. It's the big cost for both of them.
Is proportional.
So well, yes and no, right? Because when you think about it, the idea is equally as important. A little company, they only have oxygen to breathe maybe 3 months, 6 months, right? Okay. Before they run out of cash. So for them, they need to get the idea really quickly. Or start over.
Or a great idea.
Or a great idea that we just go,
that
wow.
Change everything that, in days.
Absolutely. The big companies, they are afraid because remember, they are not responsible to us. They are responsible for their shareholders, right? Yes. So the la bolsa, isn't that what we call it in Spanish?
Absolutely.
Right? La bolsa. So they say, oh my gosh, if I don't sell enough in the next 90 days, then the stock is going to... So for them, there's a big risk as well. And for the individual person that sits with the project, there's a very big risk. And we kind of try to... And we should make it a little bit more funny, but I always say, when we come, we're like an insurance policy and a parachute, right? We're in an airplane, we're building it, and if it goes wrong, at least you can get out and you can land safely on the ground, right? That's really it. Yeah, absolutely. And we'll talk about that, I'm sure, a little bit later with processes and stuff. But think about it. Everybody, it's a risk to do innovation. But if you go, like Julio, right? If you go to the kitchen and you just say, I'm going to come up with something random, the risk is even bigger, right? Like the risk of failure is enormous.
Totally.
Okay. Yeah. A ver, hablando.
Entonces, no es como al viejo estilo de la gran idea, la musa. Ya, es un proceso.
Es un proceso, absolutamente. So this all started, I think you need to know the background on how this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So the first, before Julio and I met, the first place that I ever worked was at Lego. Okay, if you know anything about Denmark, it's Lego.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Lego equals Denmark.
Denmark is in Lego. No?
Lego means lie got, which means play good. That's what's like, L-E-G, mm-hmm. is to play, like lie, okay. and good is it's got. And then they put them together and it became Lego. And when I was at Lego, it was really, really, really dark times. It was they realized that
a
kids...
A punto de quebrar.
No? Oh, it was at the edge of death.
At the end of the...
It was the end. It was not fun. And... So they realized that children stopped playing Lego, right? Way earlier. So I used to play Lego when I was like 13.
Yes.
Suddenly, I don't know. We both have kids, you and I. When do they stop playing Lego? I would say 9, 10.
9.
Yeah, exactly. Then the computer games are more cool and everything. So they needed to reinvent themselves. So, and my job was to come up with new ideas together with my boss. And what we found out was it was a matter of studying. Instead of trying to make just more toys to children, it was more to the reversing the question to say, so what do children want? Maybe we need to do something different. Mm-hmm. And now fast forward, you know, now we have Lego movies, we have Lego parks, we have Lego video games. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now we will play Legos, right? And then by the way, all of us here, we suddenly started playing Lego again, right?
They have the Rolling Stones tonk
for
people of 50 years.
Exactly. Right? And they cost $500, right?
Yes.
Like 10 mil pesos.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All for a piece of Lego.
Y ahí se va el dinero que debería llegar a tu casa. El dinero de tus hijos.
He gives me for birthday the tongue of the...
Wow. Obvia es fan de Lego que tiene... He has a Lego wife.
Can I see that?
I would love to see that.
Eagle with the waffles.
Eagle wife.
Exactly. So basically, when I was at Lego, I realized that what people will buy in the future is not a product. We're going to buy an idea. And anything we have at home, including the studio, this microphone, my clothes, this sofa, the chair, the car, all of this can be purchased cheaper with, if it doesn't have a brand, no design, and no story. Yes. All of it. Everything here. Yes. Absolutely.
The brand's born to be more expensive than the other things.
Absolutely. Yep. Because we want to buy an experience. Like if somebody goes and wants to buy a Louis Vuitton bag, and you say, well, you can buy it in Soriana, we would never, ever pay, 50,000 pesos for that. It will never, ever happen, right? But if we go to a store where the ambiance is that you feel special and you get the bag and you put it in and it's like blah, blah, blah. Remember, most Louis Vuitton bags are not leather, right?
They're made plastic.
It's plastic.
It's very fine plastic.
It is very, 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 very fine plastic. But our wives or girlfriends or whoever, they want it and we put it in the bag. And suddenly, we don't even ask for a discount, right? There's no
nadie.
Can I get a discount?
You never ask for the price.
It's full price.
You put your card and God bless me.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The only one that's happy is American Express. Yeah. So basically is we buy this and then we started saying, okay, what ideas do people want to buy, right? And that led into that the people that are buying are not rich people. This is very important. Everybody believes that it's all about these high-end things and we want to buy.
It's the best look-alike.
You know what? The people that make this world go around is all of us. It is se, se menos, se más. That is the people that drive
the
entire business around. Whether you're Coca-Cola or Sabritas or Louis Vuitton. Exactly. Because Louis Vuitton makes 90% of their profit comes from people that only buy one product.
Yes. And they use it all the time, night and day.
Yes.
They sleep with the back end.
O nunca lo usas y lo guardas y lo pones ahí en el altarcito.
No, because the other people don't see your back. This product is for the people, not for me.
This product, you mean him?
No, no. Pero,
this kind of product. Here I come.
The little man.
Yeah, exactly,
En México es llamado el efecto Gucci. ¿No? Okay. La gente de dinero, la gente.
¿Cómo se hizo que Gucci se posicionó de ese nombre?
Es un efecto en la parte de marketing en donde tú ves a la gente que no es la gente de dinero, la gente rica, las que normalmente traen la marca Gucci para hacer un exposure. Claro. Por eso se llama el efecto Gucci. No es tanto, Kim lo compara mucho con Louis Vuitton, pero en México es más el efecto Gucci.
Claro.
Donde la gente realmente está vestida con la marca porque quiere llamar la atención. Claro. Y puede ser que no tengan la posibilidad de comprar otro producto Gucci en ese momento o en los siguientes meses. Pero ese producto Gucci que traen lo explotan al 100.
Y mientras más grande esté el logo, mejor.
Claro.
Pero el ingreso de las marcas de lujo en México ha sido exponencial, ¿no? O sea, se pasó de un país en el que sí había acceso a claramente
todas las marcas
parte
de lujo
más
están
alta
en
las México. Marcas de lujo. Pero esto tiene cierta relatividad nueva, ¿no? O sea, llevará unos quizá 10 años.
20, yo creo, unos 20.
¿No? Más o menos tiene como 15 años, donde realmente las marcas entran en este mercado. ¿Por qué? Porque también se hablaba de un mercado en México en donde no había dinero, en donde no había para ese gasto. Y normalmente la gente iba y se lo compraba en Estados Unidos o iban a París o luego iban a Italia. Hoy en día las marcas, cuando atacan este segmento en México, es un segmento aspiracional. No es un segmento que realmente esté establecido como tal. Por eso cuando la gente va a Antara o va a Arts, van a vivir una experiencia alrededor de esa compra y alrededor de lo que la marca te está ofreciendo.
Ya. Yo voy a Arts, pero nada más a la zona de comida.
y vas al Moro.
A la de afuera.
Y a la de afuera. A la de afuera, que está bien sabroso. ¿No?
Correo electrónico dioses@genio.fm.
Pero fíjate, lo que comentas está muy interesante porque pone en perspectiva muchas de las ejecuciones de marketing que se hacen en algunos medios que se tienen concebidos como de alto poder adquisitivo. Por ejemplo, una revista de golf o una revista de yates. Se presume que las personas que consumen ese contenido en una revista de golf o en una revista de yates, pues ya no es tan aspiracional, ¿no? Porque ya, ahí sí ya, digo que nada más te la pases viendo el barco.
Mira, normalmente, pues sí, hoy en día, para leer ese tipo de revistas, ya es un poco complicado, ¿no? Pero también tienes el tema del acceso de los hijos. Cuando tu hijo ve que en una revista o en un espectacular está Taylor Swift o está Justin Timberlake o está Justin Bieber, pueden llegar y preguntarte a ti como papá, papá, ¿por qué tú no traes ese reloj? ¿O por qué mamá no tiene esa bolsa?
Yo te digo que porque yo no canto.
Por tu culpa, desgraciado.
¿No? Entonces, se vuelve ese momento. Se vuelve ese momento en donde tú, por no quedar mal con tu hijo, compras ese producto, ¿no? O te haces de esa, de ese gasto.
Qué te terrible.
Te puedes ir a meses sin intereses. 100%. Pero es 100%.
Y children are today, I think, the most important. We had this great story. So, and all business people should know this. Consumers are like a train. Okay? Mm. Do you know consumers only have one bad habit? Do you know what that bad habit is?
No, we don't. No. Gastarse el dinero. Tenerlo.
They die.
Ah.
That is the worst thing that they can do. So we need to put more people on the train because they're going to fall out and die at the end, right? And the most important people to put in are young people, by far. Like the most powerful. So we always said, oh, the millennials are the most important people. And then it's the Gen Z are the most important people. We now already do the next level. Gen Alpha, right? Is coming out for this, right? Mm-hmm. Alpha, it will be more important than anybody else. So if we don't get them, and it goes for anything, because we started changing, right? And our children, we all have kids, right?
No.
We say, oh, I'm the man of the house and I decide everything. No, we don't. We don't decide anything. It's the kid that comes and says, I want this. I don't want to eat that. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And by the way, I want to go to this. And
I decide not to fight about that.
Exactly.
But it's my decision.
So what you do is we pay for peace. American Express, right?
You buy your freedom.
You buy
your emotional freedom.
Peacemaker. Right? Because otherwise there's no peace.
Peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
The more expensive day is Friday night. Because have 2 days more of the weekend. So you can pay in advance.
But 100%.
With this idea, the marketing innovation should be focused on the younger consumer.
So we believe in two principles. There's innovations to be made everywhere. Even, by the way, if you live in Gringolandia right now, like Estados Unidos, then the most important target to go after is actually old people. Every second of every minute of every hour of every day, a person retires in the United States. So if you want to have something, invent something for them. They have money. They're by far the richest people ever.
They're waiting.
They're waiting to die, yes. Right? Yeah. So,
I'm talking about waiting for new things.
Yeah. But they're waiting to die, and they want to have a good time while they're waiting.
The rest of their life.
In the United States, the older people have something that we in Mexico we don't have. It's a 750K that the government. I don't know if the amount is correct.
The golden years, yeah.
No, when you retire, you have an amount for the government.
Well, if you invested, right? But you're right. They paid off their house, right? There's no mortgage, right? They paid off their car, and now they have money. So to answer your question, should we invent only for young people? No, we should invent for anybody. There's niches everywhere to go after. Okay. Plus, number two, this is important. If you have one trend, there will be an equal trend, equally as big. I will prove this right now. All of us in this room wants to be healthy. Am I right?
Yo quiero que yo haga algo al respecto.
Salud, right? Ajá. So we say, I want an ensalada. I will have these supplements. I will do anything to stay long. And then, yo me gusta chocolate también. So I'm going to eat that as well. So if we eat more healthy, we will also eat more chocolate.
Yes.
This is right? Yes. And it goes for everything. if there's one trend, there will be a polarized trend as well. So it's not like you say, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't go to this, I didn't innovate something here. Well, then try to innovate something in the opposite space, because there will be equally as much money to be made there.
Pero esto que dices es súper importante, porque usualmente pensamos, la gente ya no quiere más que cosas saludables. Mm-hmm. No es cierto. They want gorditas. Oh, and chilaquiles.
¿Sí? They want that. But then Monday and Tuesday, yes, they want the light this, light that, light everything. By the way, light products taste terrible, in my personal opinion. But we tell our mind and then we go and do it, because then we want to be healthy. We are this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, yes, yin-yang, yes, whatever
for
you
two
want to
healthy
do
things, I deserve one bad thing.
Exactly.
Yes, that's part of the game. Because nobody can be on one of the sites.
Exactly.
Right?
We even have it. We even do, I go to the gym. What do I look for?
Yeah, now I can drink a beer because in the morning I just...
Exactly, because yeah, I already
the
lost...
The reward. The emotional reward.
The reward for it. And it's within this that's where we can innovate all of these places. So when people say, it's only big companies that can innovate. No. Like, we have a great guy that worked for us. We'll shout out, make a shout out for Paco Arias. And Paco is a vegan. And not that I really, I'm not a vegan, so I will gladly eat meat. but Paco said, but I want to innovate something within this, because I want to prove that you can actually have yummy things even though you're vegan. So he made this store called Pulpa. It's in Colonia Juarez. Mm-hmm. And Pulpa makes, I tell you, the most amazing donuts in the entire city. It's like Krispy Kreme, go home, right? It is so, so, so yummy. Mm-hmm. It's the smallest store. There's hardly no money for advertisement. And he has made this cult followers of veganism, right? Like, the vegans are standing outside the doors. A lot of them are gringos, by the way, living in the FA. And they want this. So you tailor to that, and then you can innovate even though you're this small. Or you are like, you know, Herdez, Coca-Cola, Unilever, Carrefour, or whoever. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, everybody needs to innovate. That's for sure.
Yes, but I think that in marketing, especially in marketing, there are a lot of tricks.
¿Qué idioma está hablando?
When you make innovation, because sometimes it's just how you say the same thing.
100%.
It's not reinvent the product. It's just turn your face and say, I'm going to talk from this side, but it's the same thing.
Well,
right?
Why don't we tell a fun story? What you want to hear is a fun story? Okay.
Por favor.
So we. Everybody in this room eat Kellogg's, right? Every
I eat was my client for many years.
Exactly,
in Querétaro.
Exactly, in Querétaro. Right? We went there as well. So Kellogg's, by the way, you said a very funny joke before the podcast started. You said, what's the most nutritional part of the Kellogg's? It's the box, right?
I'm not complete. Just exactly, the right size.
Exactly, right? So, but the thing is, so they came to us and said, we need to innovate. We need to sell more of this product. And by the way, you can't change anything. You cannot change the box. You can't change the format. You can't change the colors. Mm-hmm. You can't change the product. You can't change the plastic bag. And you can't put anything in the box either. Okay. That's an interesting innovation. Now, what did we do? So the whole thing is a matter of understanding who is buying, right? Who's buying things. So when you think about it, my mom used to say, you can only have cereal, you know, once in the on Saturday or whatever, you know, and then you need
your birthday.
Exactly. and then this concept rolled around that mom needed to go to work, right? And dad needs to drive to work too. And therefore there was less in time. So now we started eating cereal, which, by the way, tastes great. I love Kellogg's cereal. So they had this thing, product called Choco Crispies, with the elephant on, right? And the elephant didn't sell so much more.
Marvin.
Melvin, yeah, exactly. So Melvin didn't sell that much more anymore. So how do you persuade the mothers to now buy more Melvin and give their children? So remember, the customer is suddenly not the kid, it's the mom. Because the mom is the one who decides.
The buyer.
Exactly, the buyer. And so number one. Number two was, the kid will gladly eat chocolate every single day. I'm like, my kid, if I say, we're going to have chocolate, I'm in. I'm going to eat chocolate, right? Yum, 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 yum. So what we found out was, the mother was saying, it's not healthy. Okay, so we asked just a simple question. Why is it not healthy? Well, I don't know, but it's not healthy.
I'm born with the concept of energy.
But no, it was even more simple. It was one of those where It was right in front of our nose all the time. We just couldn't see it. The main product in Choco Crispies is arroz, right? It's rice.
Yes, rice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we just said it's made by rice. That's literally the innovation. You said it yourself. Tell the same thing in a different way.
Yep.
What is rice? Rice is healthy, right? It's a good product.
Yes, nobody says that rice is bad.
No, there's nothing bad.
Maybe
about
a part of the problem could be that the elephant, no?
Because, oh, well.
Obviously, if an elephant told me something, well.
But the elephants don't eat rice.
So we'll come to that story in a split second. Yeah. So when we changed that story, sales went up.
Yeah.
So we innovated on a product.
Yes, rice with chocolate.
Kind of ish.
Rice with energy.
Exactly. Now, we had nothing to do with Melvin, but they kind of made Melvin smaller, and I don't think that was
thinner.
Such a...
Thinner.
I think that he looked
like a horse.
Y también la parte...
I think that he needs a little...
Y también la parte donde la percepción de Melvin, y como tú lo decías, el tema es que Kellogg's nunca había hecho publicidad para las niñas.
Yeah.
No.
Ningún producto estaba enfocado para las niñas en Kellogg's.
Toño, Cornelio,
Melvin.
All of those commercials that you remember was when we were kids. Not our kids. No, exactly.
Todos eran enfocados hacia el niño.
Sí, no había ninguna vaquerita, nada. Corn Pops es un vaquero.
Es un vaquero. Pero no. No, bueno, y aparte de enfocarlo a niñas con los mismos personajes, tampoco...
Habiendo una licencia de Barbie.
Era un tema complicado también cómo atraer a las niñas a ese segmento del cereal y que las mamás estuvieran de acuerdo. ¿Por qué? Porque como bien lo decía Antonio, siempre fue deporte, garra. Energía, guerra, garra. Y nunca fue enfocado a un niño que igual y no hiciera deporte o a una niña que no hiciera deporte. Enfocado a una persona que se sentara a hacer ajedrez o que tuviera un tema de matemáticas.
Intelectual,
¿no?
Claro.
Una persona intelectual. Siempre fue enfocado al deporte. Cuando nosotros empezamos a ver esos resultados en la parte de la investigación, nos dimos cuenta de que también tenían que enfocarse hacia ese segmento y atraer a esa mamá para que los niños de ese tipo de mercado se sintieran atraídos hacia el producto, ¿no? Y no nada más con Choco Crispies o con Zucaritas, sino que fuera un tema de panorama, umbrella, para que ellos pudieran tener, obviamente, una penetración mucho más adecuada en el tema de que la mamá sintiera que, aparte que les estaba dando arroz, que era nutrición, que también se sintieran atraídos no nada más por el concepto del deporte.
Sí, claro, después estar sentado y es para la mente. O sea, ¿no?
Se puede innovar a nivel comunicación.
Así es.
Total. Of course, and that brings to this, why do we buy a product? Do we buy... I had this super cool guy that came from Coca-Cola, and he said, why... It was a Swedish guy, by the way. And he said, why do people buy Coca-Cola? And then he hold up a bottle. And he says, oh, it's the cap, it's the bottle, it's the liquid, it's the flavors. And he goes, no.
It's the rum.
Exactly.
Right? Rum.
You buy everything. That's the thing. When you design something, you need to kind of look at it as an object. You need to go all the way around and says, does it look pretty from all sides? Is it the right box? Is it the right name? Is it the right color? Is it the right flavor? Is it the right packaging? That's what we buy. Remember like perfume, right?
Mm-hmm,
great example, right? You have a perfume bottle. This is the most expensive part, by the way.
Never know the real product.
Never know, exactly. You have no
until
idea.
You pay it and open.
Exactly. Then
it's a surprise.
But you can imagine how it smells Charlize Theron.
Aha.
And that's the reason.
And it's the more stupid thing in the world.
That's the reason. I only need that reason.
Maybe she don't use it.
But there is where you have it in. Communication, right? Yeah. Needs to work.
Colors.
Colors.
Status.
Status, the whole thing. And then we go down and we pay what?
Yes.
$200-$400.
Dreams. Magic.
Yeah. So we've done a lot of perfume. And I can tell you, after cocaine, it's most likely the world's most profitable product.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the makeup.
Es una buena idea de negocio, Kim.
Not that we've done any other illegal stuff, but we've made...
And it's very funny that if you sell a cheap perfume, it's not business.
No.
You are not going to sell a cheap perfume.
No. Who wants to buy a cheap perfume? Nobody
Journey.
Wants.
No, it smells like wine and cheap perfume. Just Journey. But
yeah. Super especializados, dice.
Exactly. So in other words, this whole thing about you just need You need to think about your product from all the angles. And everybody thinks, oh, I can't innovate. It's too expensive. It's this, it's that. I think that everybody can innovate as long as you follow the recipe, which is you need to understand what people want, right? You need to really research. Instead of just saying, oh, I had this moment and I think everybody's going to buy this. I don't think that works at all these days. You need an epiphany, yes, but it needs to fit what you people
how,
want.
How you can test the innovation? Because Henry Ford, many, many years ago, you know the story.
Told him.
He said, tell me, Henry Ford, tell
he
me.
Told you. Yeah. He told you. Oh, my God. Okay. You are seriously.
Yes, I was with like, him in an afternoon.
In an afternoon over Michigan, coffee. In right. Michigan, yes.
But no. This guy says that if you ask to the customer what you want,
they're going
to
say a faster horse.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. No.
So how you can tell?
Exactly. So it's more that you need to come and present. So now I'm going to, if anybody wants, here's the recipe, by the way. How do you test whether things will work? So we patented what we do, but it's like a funnel. So you say, I have 20 ideas and they're all a little bit different, right? And then you know at the end that it can only be one idea. But the reality is when you have 20 ideas, you most likely have more like in combination, you have maybe like 10,000 ideas.
Yes.
So you need to narrow it down and say, so you show people and say, would this be it? Would this be it? Would this be it? If you ask people to come up with an idea, they won't. Remember we had BlackBerry, right? When you show to people, show me, draw for me a better phone. Then they will draw a bigger keyboard, right? Or something awful like that. But if I came and I showed them a picture and I said, this is a glass phone, this is how it works, then people get it, right? So everybody can go to their cousin and uncle. And by the way, everybody in Mexico knows everybody, right? So you all have so many uncles and aunts and it's unbelievable. And everybody can go to the Sunday dinner or the pozole or something like that and go say, hey, can I show you this? And the only thing you ask people is, tell me your honest opinion. If you don't think it's good, tell me it's not good. The worst thing you can ever have is when people try to, you know, a family member, Julio, it's a really good idea. And then in reality, they think, oh, God, it's never going to
everybody
fly.
Says, it's good.
It's good.
Really?
Exactly.
You can ask for a Mexican for any street, everybody knows.
Exactly.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
So everything is good on that.
So the cost is to say, tell me truly your honest opinion. And when you have that, you get feedback. And then we have processed this. You can, you know, we narrow it down. But everybody can go out and say, hey, I'll show you a picture. I'll show you two ideas. Actually, the right thing is always to show three ideas a minimum, just so you know it, okay? Because then now the brain starts analyzing and comparing them.
Yeah,
and that's what you want. You don't want just to show one thing. Because then you go, oh, okay, yeah, it's nice. Right? And you're lying.
They have to move.
Exactly. So, and then after this, so this is very simple. Then you go to the next step and say, I learned something. They didn't want this, they wanted that. And then I go home and then I do it again. And if you look at real, like super entrepreneurs, that's how they all started. They took the time, right? And then they went out. And then with time, there's a change. Right now you have, you know, fast test, fast fail, right? Which is, you launch something, that works if you're a small company. Totally. I make 20 donuts and they don't sell, I lost dough for 20 donuts. Everybody can survive. A company, though, that says, I need to buy for $20 million worth of machine, you can't do that mistake, right? So you need a little bit more security. So in reality, the little guy has an advantage over the big company.
Yes, because they can prove anything.
They can prove anything.
They don't have nothing to lose.
Exactly.
Or just a little.
Exactly. Now, they have a hard time scaling, right? That's where their problem comes. The biggest one is easier. But remember everybody that listens to this, because you're the gods in this, right?
Yeah.
Everybody.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah, exactly. But non-allegedly, everybody can innovate. Absolutely everybody can innovate. It's just sit down, concentrate about it, think about what people want, go and ask people what they want, and come with something that seems to... And there's this... I think sometimes people also... You need science... We are scientists, King, basically, right? We're mathematicians, statisticians, and also and innovators. But there is that point where you just know there's something here.
Yes, the feeling.
The feeling. Yes. The feeling has to be there.
And sometimes people kill that feeling, and they should never kill that feeling. You shouldn't be stupid, but you shouldn't kill the feeling. So it's this, it's a balance act.
Yeah, you die and the feeling is life, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Escribe a dioses@genio.fm para ampliar tus dudas.
I have a question. Is the innovation is not like a muscle that you have to practice all the time and in your life, not only in your business. You have to try to innovate all the time. Is a way of life, or is just in a paper, on a table, in a meeting room?
Oh, so if we start there, no, absolutely. If you cannot, the value of an innovation has only value if you materialize it. If you do not materialize it, it's actually even a negative value.
Okay.
Because it steals your time.
Yep.
Right?
You waste your time.
Absolutely, right? That's an interesting thing. It pulls away from you because you should maybe focus on something else. Then you can flip the question. Is it a muscle? I think it is. I will be so rude to say I think I can innovate on command.
In all the companies, there are one or two guys that all the time are jumping with good ideas, sometimes good, sometimes bad, yes. But all the time are jumping.
Yeah.
And the rest is...
Yeah. But it takes guts to do things, right? I think that when we as a company, we go out, I can truly go in and say, it is 9:30, I need to come up with 20 ideas, and they will come right now. But that's because we've done this for 25 years. I'm not very good in the gym. I think you're better than that. But I know the muscle
but
of
maybe
innovation.
This is the reason of that you be on this business, that when you was kid, you were like, how can I play basketball, ball?
Yeah, exactly.
And you invent a new game.
Yeah. So is it a muscle? Well, everybody reinvents itself all the time. I can prove this. We all met somebody we love, right? Our partner, our whoever we have at home when we met the first time. And we all lied. I'm sorry, even for my wife. We all lied when we met them because we wanted to transform into something that they would love, right?
Do you have an idea of the nightmare of his wife?
Some in this room had more challenges than others, right? Let me just say that, right? But we all invented ourselves like this.
Yes, yes.
Super fast.
Yes.
Like, we put on the cool shoes. We were funny.
We were good. Charismatic.
Exactly. So, and when people say, I don't know how to innovate, you already did. We became parents. We immediately needed to innovate ourselves as parents. Like, there was nobody... Like, you stand there the first time with a diaper and the whole thing is like a shit show. Seriously, right?
You speak like another guy.
Exactly. And then he's like, we speak like another guy. You're right.
With the fine words that you never use. And concepts. I said, hey, I went to Italy. Yeah, really?
Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. You're the great liar.
So everybody innovate. So we just need to apply this in our whole life. Because you're right. It's the same thing. Remember, we used to all wear a suit, right? I'm wearing a jacket today. It, by the way, is very thin. But so we all used to wear a suit, go to the store, and say, oh, this is very fancy. And now, if you took the same suit on that was beautiful then, you put it on now, you look like a clown. Sorry, like we all do, right? Because if we didn't so fashion is innovation, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally.
Right?
Totally.
Like the Zara.
And break rules.
Yeah, and that's a great place to find inspiration is to look. And by the way, that's another thing. If you want to see the future, start looking at fashion. Because the colors that come in clothing will filter down, right? Yeah. And they all end up in the most boring thing, which is paint on the wall. Right? Mm-hmm. A good example is by the way,
it's a very happy gray.
Exactly.
It's
a
happy gray.
Inspiration.
Well, el color de 2000.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're like a silent.
Absolutely. And I will guarantee you in 3 years from now that wall will be a different color, right? Because we already can forecast, oh, it's going to be these, you know, sandy beige or white, flips as well. That's the third thing in innovation. If there is something today, try to think of the polar opposite. If black is in now, make the same product and make it in pastels or in white or whatever. You can innovate a product by the smallest things. And paint is one of the cheapest things to change, right?
Yep.
Like the color. And so there is a part of innovation. So a good example, right? We all have Vans. Remember the Vans shoes, right? I'm not wearing them today, right?
We don't have it.
It's the same shoe, but suddenly we think it's modern again because we just changed the color. And then we've been all the circle around, we just reintroduced the old one. Retro. Yes. By the way, this is called retro, right? Exactly. And then we're back. All of it can be charged as long as you change a little bit. It's a matter of context and changing it a little bit.
No se trata entonces de grandes cambios, sino de pequeños cambios significativos.
Yeah, absolutely. The smallest thing can make or break anything at any time, which is frightening, by the way. It's good for us because we're in business, right? but yes, this smallest
thing. Es un tema de enfocarte en el detalle, ¿no? Nosotros aquí en México, cuando tenemos al grupo de diseñadores, obviamente el tráfico, el tiempo que se tardan en llegar, todo el estrés, todo eso, pues es un tema complicado cuando se ponen a diseñar. Pero si tú llegas en Dinamarca,
pues sí,
en Copenhague, que es del tamaño de la Condesa, para recorrerlo en obviamente son específicos los detalles cuando ellos se ponen a diseñar, ¿no? Entonces, por eso es que también es mucho el cuidar ese detalle para lograr este concepto de innovación.
Okay. Eso que mencionas, es la cultura es un reto para la innovación.
Oh, claro, el entorno. También.
Bueno, la cultura y el entorno que tenemos aquí. Contexto, o sea, claramente en Dinamarca la pirámide de Maslow está un poquito más cubierta,
más,
¿no?
Altita.
O sea, no te preocupas porque te van a cercenar en pedazos yendo por refrescos al Oxxo, ¿no? O sea, sí hay un tema que pocas veces se toca en la mesa, que es la exigencia del entorno social de inseguridad y de
de riqueza,
de inversión en tiempo que tenemos en una ciudad como esta, ¿no? Eso es dramático.
No es lo mismo yo tener la oficina aquí en Altavista y que mi director creativo vive en Satélite y que se tarde 2 horas en llegar a la oficina, que se siente a trabajar y que después se aviente otras 2 horas para regresar a la oficina.
Haces menos de Dinamarca a Islandia que de Satélite a Altavista.
¿No? Claro. Entonces, es un tema complicado. Ya eso aunado ahorita, como está la situación, como bien lo mencionas, tema de seguridad, tema de cambios políticos, tema de otros factores que van cambiando también el tema del consumo en un producto, ¿no? No es lo mismo comprarte una botella de 4 litros o de 3 litros de Coca-Cola que comprarte una lata de las chiquitas,
de las
donde obviamente la movilidad, el tema, cómo vas consumiéndolo, en cuánto tiempo te la terminaste, ¿por qué? Porque pues, obviamente todo ese englobe de la experiencia es lo que te va llevando hacia buscar un producto que te vaya innovando hacia tu necesidad. Como Kim lo mencionaba, ¿no? Hay personas que nos gusta ir al gimnasio, nos gusta hacer ejercicio, hay personas que quieren ir al gimnasio o que quieren hacer ejercicio, pero ¿por qué no van? No nada más es un tema de cambiar en la parte del consumo, sino también es un tema mental que también influye con una marca. Las marcas también juegan en la percepción mental del consumidor.
Claro. ¿No? Yo tengo una pregunta y es...
Ahora sí le entiendo.
Tú hablas... Sí, ahora estoy hablando en inglés más fluido. Fluid English.
Okay. Sí, no manches, todos English, que entendimos.
Exactly. ¿Te fijas? Ya aprendieron inglés.
No, es que no hables danés.
El punto... Exactly. I speak like esquimal. No, el punto es... Tú hablas de compañías... No, normalmente en marketing la innovación viene a nivel global. Uh-huh. Innovan en Japón y ¡prum! Innovan en Nueva York, en Fifth Avenue y ¡prum! ¿Cómo generas innovación local? Cuando en Estados Unidos creas un producto, estás pensando, es que esto lo va a ver un hindú, un chino, un francés, un brasileño, un mexicano. Y en cambio en México innovas pensando, pues ojalá lo vea mi colonia y ¿cómo piensas global cuando innovas?
So with me, we're saying there are certain things you can innovate across the world, right? Like, you know, we've done a lot of work for Coke in many, many, many different markets. And you need to drink, right? Like we are thirsty and we drink. It's a very basic needs that we can have. But I mean, we go down to the local part. I think it is sometimes a matter of that where the small companies have a huge advantage is that they can take something and reinterpret it. Let's take, we have many things in Mexico that are very unique for Mexico, right? The big ones that the foreigners know is tequila, right? You know, like something like the taco. And but you also have the like the
enchilada.
No. Like, for instance, you have so much beautiful art. What are the alebrijes? Isn't that what it's called?
Alebrijes.
Gracias. Alebrijes. And they are like, when you take them and you can modernize it and make it new, you can truly innovate locally that the big ones can't do, and suddenly make it relevant for this. So I walked down in Colonia Juarez here last week, and there was one store after another that proves that innovation lives very, very, very well in Mexico.
Okay.
Because there is these small stores that figured out a niche of something like perfume. Again, by the way, this is kind of funny. We come back to that. Right? Or clothing or furniture or stuff where you totally can do it. Now, the reason why the big ones can't do that is because you need to look at the market as what will sell everywhere. Right? Because if you're big and have, let's say, 10,000 employees, you need to sell millions of products, right? But if you have 2 employees, you maybe only need to sell a couple of hundred of products, right? That's the difference with it. It's like, who are you? What do you need to do? Okay.
You have to look out, but inside.
And you totally, too, right? Absolutely. I think that the biggest strength that there is, if we all say that the gringos don't have culture, but that's not true. They have lots of culture, but it's a very different culture, right? So if you can put, like, for instance, I think Disney is no longer a company. It is a cultural institution, right?
Yes, like Coca-Cola, right? Ford.
Like Coca-Cola, Ford. So, Apple. And by the way, to prove this, I don't think you even know this. There are restaurants today in the United States that are Ford restaurants. Did you know that? No, you didn't, right? So you go to a mall and there is a restaurant which is a Ford garage. And you go in and you get food. Ford never invented food, right? But the Ford brand pulls people in.
In Mexico now, there is part of the innovation of a mall. In arts,
yeah.
You sit on a table and you have 6 or 7 different kind of foods.
Exactly.
With names and process and everything is different.
No, like, yeah. Pero lo que Kim quería decir es, Ford, traducele. Ahorita, por ejemplo, en Orlando, al lado donde está uno de los outlets, hay un restaurante que es el restaurante Ford.
Yeah.
Ford, okay. ¿No?
Ford.
Okay. ¿Por qué? Porque obviamente también es un tema que está conectando con otros mercados que no tenían idea de que existía esa marca. Y en el momento en el que empieza la convivencia en un restaurante para los niños,
claro,
hacia la marca, pueden hacer el switcheo para la parte de los coches.
And, wow. And you know what? Julio comes into something really important. This what we call... It's hard sometimes to innovate something new. So we call it fusion innovations. We take 2 things. I'll give you the master example is Steve Jobs. He neither invented the MP3 player, mm-hmm. nor did he invent the file sharing system, right? There was Napster, mm-hmm. and it was... you know, some Chinese company or Japanese company. Right? But he... And then he
some
fused...
Some Chinese guy.
It was Toshiba. I was trying to get the name up. So Toshiba had it, and then Napster, and they were all honestly crap product. He took them and put them together, and suddenly we had iTunes, right? Which was, if it wasn't for iTunes, we wouldn't have had Spotify. If we would, you get my point, right? Mm-hmm. So this thing combining, we even saw a simple yet very, very powerful innovation just last week. So Cheetos, right? You know Cheetos and Puma made a collab.
Yeah.
Boom. So now you have an orange shoe. Yes. When you think about it, it should be, you know, hello to our friends over at Pepsi, by the way. You should think that Pepsi should pay people to go and advertise with their product right on their shoes.
Uh-huh.
That's not it. They cost like $200 in a store. And I was just in Orlando and they are selling. People go, oh, look at the Cheetos Puma shoes. I want one of those. Boom, and buy it. These are, so the Cheetos was invented and the Puma shoe was invented. You know, but you merge these
fusion.
You fusion innovation. And I think there, you can almost go, and by the way, Mexicans are experts in this. Sushi, I used to live in Japan, right? Sushi is Japanese.
No.
When it comes to Mexico and it became this Mexico sushi, right? Like, and it tastes fantastic.
Swiss enchilada. do you imagine being in Zurich and bring me enchiladas from Swiss?
Exactly. I think that this thing is, so when we sometimes, I heard people say, we run out of innovations.
The crisis is gasoline. for innovation.
Yes.
When you don't have many things, you have to innovate.
You have to innovate, yeah? Yes. And I think this is where our parents, grandparents, they actually, there was this huge boom after Second World War, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're right, there was nothing. They had to start from scratch and they innovated so many things. Like Japan became a superpower because they were bombed to nothing, right?
Yes.
And I think maybe the problem, and it is, I think it's even a big problem, none of us here has had any crisis. I have never lived in a real crisis. You know, it's like...
Where
it's like
afortunado.
No. And it's totally true. I've never gone starved to bed. I've never had any... And therefore, you can say maybe there are some innovations that we actually can't innovate because we haven't even pushed there.
Yes.
And that's to a whole other dimension of innovation is where does the most cutting edge innovation is today in certain industries?
Regresando al punto de lo de Chetos con Puma.
Yo me quedé pensando en el pie con olor a Chetos.
Del olor.
me distraje, así, es mi culpa.
Así también lo hizo Adidas en algún momento en sacar unos tenis que eran de concha, como el pan.
Con jarritos. Ajá, ¿no? ajá.
Lo hizo con jarritos.
Con jarritos.
¿Qué tan complicado era en los 90s que nosotros, la mayoría, crecimos con nuestras playeras que de Corona, bienvenido a Acapulco, Corona, Coca-Cola, ¿no? Y pagábamos por utilizar la marca. Después las marcas nos empezaron a regalar los productos como souvenirs, ¿no? Oye, compra 10 botellas, junta las 10 taparroscas, paga y te entrego tu playera de Coca-Cola. Un poquito intentando entender lo del programa de Big Bang Theory, ¿no? Uh-huh. Donde Sheldon todo el tiempo trae Playeras. Una marca y va feliz por la vida con la marca. Así como lo hizo Friends en su momento, que tú cuando veías Friends, el refrigerador de Joey y de Chandler, todo el tiempo tenía un six-pack de cervezas arriba, donde tú veías que la marca lo estaba poniendo, pero nunca le ponías atención a ese tema.
Tecate.
¿No? Uh-huh. Pero hoy en día... vas a pagar por traer unos tenis Puma con la marca de Chetos, donde hicieron obviamente una fusión en el tema de innovación para lograr un tema de ventas hacia Puma y lograr posicionar una marca como Chetos, ¿no? O sea, qué importante es este tema de la fusión en un tema de innovación enfocado a una marca y a un momento de consumo que hoy en día los consumidores te lo están permitiendo.
Sí, el Beatle de Barbie, ¿no? Hubo hace 15 años, ¿no?
Uh-huh. Oh, sí.
Y le pegaste un mercado diferente, a mamá sobre todo, ¿no? Claro.
Hay una serie de preguntas importantes que tenemos en el tintero, el tema de hablar de la innovación, bueno, ambos lo han expuesto como un proceso mental humano, ¿no? Pero ¿en qué punto entra la inteligencia artificial? Si es que funciona, etcétera. Pero esas preguntas las guardamos para el siguiente capítulo, muchachos, porque esta hora ya se
peló. It has been an hour.
What? Wow. Has it been an hour?
It's faster in Mexico than time.
Sí.
We don't have a lot of time, so we have to
have to squeeze it.
It's a new fusion.
Es que si no, se nos va el Metrobús.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Hablamos más rápido.
Bueno, muchas gracias a Eric Magaña y Jimena Centeno en los controles. Gracias a Gonzalo Oliveros y toda la gente de Radio Real. Se quedan con nosotros para Los Dioses Responden.
Por este programa lo va a patrocinar Interlingua.
No, bueno, cállate, Open English.
Les recuerdo que la misión de Agustín es que, o sea, acaban de escuchar este podcast así como lo grabamos. Apenas escuche el ID de salida, inicia una versión en la que vamos a hacer un esfuerzo impresionante para que esté doblado de manera simultánea.
Claro.
Del esquimal al español.
Voy a decir lo que yo quiera.
No. Yo me encargo de que salga
algo digno.
Al tiro, algo digno.
Decente.
¿No? Que cuando menos sí sea lo que dice Kim y no salga Agustín inventando ahí cosas.
Inventando, ¿no? ¿Qué tiene? Que diga, sí, lo que dijo él.
He says many things.
¿No? Kim, Julio, muchas gracias por haber estado en este primer programa.
Gracias.
Perfecto.
Perfecto.
Muchísimas gracias.
Nos quedamos para el siguiente. Dioses Responden. Hasta la vista, baby.
Los Dioses del Marketing.
Los Dioses del Marketing es una producción de www.genio.sol, agencia digital y de contenidos.